Now, Church, we are continuing on in our little look at Luke's gospel, and especially how Luke is showing us how Jesus talks about his vision of the kingdom of God. In today's passage, which we've just heard read, and we'll hear it again in just a moment, we're looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to open it up and you want to mark some things there, you can do that. The passage is really this in a nutshell. It's about Jesus talking with people as they are traveling with him. Jesus is going from one town to another and he's chatting with the people and talking with the people. But I want to give you some kind of understanding around that. See, as Jesus traveled from place to place, he was not alone. Often we think that his disciples, and when we hear disciples traveled with him, how many do we think? We often think of the 12 disciples, don't we? But let me just kind of go, yes, it was the 12 disciples, but throughout the Gospels, it is actually quite clear that larger groups of people actually were following Jesus. We have the 12 disciples, then we have the 72, and then we have the greater disciples that we kind of hear through the Gospels. And so this is a bigger crowd of people that is traveling with Jesus, men and women who believed in his message and wanted basically to learn from him and to see him and to follow him from village to village, listening to his teaching and the witnessing that Jesus is doing, seeing his miracles. And it's in this diverse group of growing disciples of Jesus that Jesus actually confronts them, those who are following him, literally following him as he's walking from one town to another. And he confronts them with, what is the true cost of discipleship? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to actually do this? Before I go too far, let me just ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to make a tough choice between something that you wanted and something that you needed to do? Just think for a moment. Something that you wanted, so it's not about something that you wanted, so that could be an activity, a thing you have or thing you want to buy, and something you needed to do, not something you needed to buy, something you needed to do. It's something who you are. Maybe it was an opportunity to go to your dream job, but it meant leaving behind family, friends, the place that you grew up in to move to another location. It's in these moments that we see the tension that happens between the comfort that we can have and the calling that might be upon us. Jesus actually addresses this very tension of what it means to have a cost to follow him. Now, let me just say this. People in ministry, Paul, myself, people in missions, you know, there's people who've gone on missionary journeys and worked overseas for things. There is a cost to ministry and following Jesus. Let me just say that. I remember the first placement, the first place that we went to from college. We went from in Sydney. And, you know, we Annette and I all grew up, all have family, friends, everything else were located around the Sutherland Shire. We grew up there. And the first placement was in Broken Hill. Now, I often joke that I must have done something really bad at college because they sent me as far away from them as they possibly could while keeping us in the state. But it was like going to Broken Hill, which meant that family, friends were left behind. We had a really good time there. It was lovely to be there, but it was a cost of the calling. We knew that we were leaving people behind to follow God. The same way as we made friends and families, we got involved with people and life in there, and we were called back from there to Narellan. Yes, it was closer to our family, closer to our friends, but we were leaving people behind. There was a cost in the calling and following Jesus. And then we were called from there even closer to where our family was, down to Cronulla. and our kids grew up there. But we had really great friends and family, and it was a calling and a cost to moving out from there. And finally, after 15 years in Cronulla and our kids growing up from through primary school and high school, we have a cost of calling and coming here. And the cost is all our family is back there and we are here. It's the first move that we've done without our children at all. There is always a cost to the calling and following. Simple, easy examples. But before we go into and reread our passage that we're looking at today, I want you to notice that this comes in the, right after two significant teachings that Jesus has. And it gives us a kind of the framework that we can kind of understand this from. Prior to this, Jesus is predicting his own death, his own cost that he has there, and lays out the heart of discipleship. He actually says to the crowd around him at that time, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 23, where he says, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take your cross daily and follow me. And it goes on a little bit further in his teaching and ministry. And then he goes, and we explored this a bit last week, but also in Luke 9, verse 48, he goes, whoever is the least amongst you is the greatest. It's that turning upside down of everything. These statements set the stage for what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus making it really clear that the discipleship means self-denial, daily sacrifice, and a willingness to be the least in the world's eyes. And so the conversation about the cost of following him is not an isolated lesson. It's actually a part of a larger calling to the radical commitment and humility of following Jesus Christ and what that actually means. So let's go back to the word. Let's just have a look at what it says in Luke chapter 9 and from verses 57 through to 62. So, as they were walking along, so you can see, as they were walking from one village to another place, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you. Notice that what the passage says is not a particular person. It's not naming one of the 12 disciples, because you'll see that, you know, they often get named when they're the ones that are making the statements or asking the questions. This is just a part of the greater crowd there. I will follow you, the person says, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. He said, that is Jesus, he said to another person, come follow me. And the man agreed, but said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. This is actually a really tough passage. How many people have read that and gone, oh, wow, that's like uplifting, isn't it? It's tough, it's hard, but let me give you this. It's a passage that is about what it means to follow that is radical. This is the radical nature of following Jesus. So Jesus was actually approached by three would-be followers amongst this crowd. And to each, he actually responds in a way that seems almost harsh, doesn't it? Why? Because following Jesus is not a hobby. It's not a part-time commitment. It's a new way of life. It means everything. Just imagine for a moment that you feel called to go on a humanitarian aid mission. Let's just think for a moment. What's happening in the world at the moment? You're thinking about the Middle East. You think about all the bombing that's happening over there, all the infrastructure that's been destroyed and communities that aren't living. You've got some gifts and skills there and you decide, I will go overseas. into the midst of this war zone and this place, I'm going to go and help them out. Okay, just think for that for a moment. You're in this war-torn country. There's no guarantee of your safety. There's no real guarantee that you're going to have somewhere safe to sleep at night. You've no guarantee of comfort or even a place where you can just be safe and secure. Most of us in the midst of that would hesitate, wouldn't we? We'd weigh the pros and cons of what it means to go and do this and our own safety. What Jesus says to this person, he says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He wants us to actually know that following him means actually embracing the possibility of uncertainty. It means actually embracing the possibility of discomfort for the sake of a greater purpose. That's what it means when we talk about the radical nature of following Jesus. This vision and the view of what the kingdom of God and following Jesus means is radical in nature. Secondly, he has another person. When the second man kind of asks that he needs to bury his father, Jesus kind of seems super insensitive, doesn't he? He says, let the dead bury their own dead. But I want to kind of give you a little bit of context and frame for this. It seems really harsh, doesn't it? But it's not as harsh as you would think. A lot of commentators, when they look at this, actually make a note around the Jewish culture. If this man's father had actually indeed died, he would have actually been already occupied with the burial rites. He wouldn't actually be on the road with Jesus. Most likely his father was actually still alive. Let me put that, but elderly. He might have been gravely ill. What the man was actually saying is he was delaying his commitment until it was more convenient for him. And that may have been years down the road. He's saying, when my family obligations are over, then I'll follow you. When I've already got this out of the way, I'm going to follow you. You know, just think for a moment, because the burial rites in the Jewish group is almost happens like on the day that they've died. So if he's died, he's not out on the road there. He's there with the family doing all those things that are part of it. So while it seems odd that he, you know, let me go do this, often it's a statement about I've got these things in my life that I have to do. I mean, think for a moment that for those that are still with their career happening in their life, think about this. You've been given this amazing job opportunity. You know, you've worked all your life, and this once in a lifetime opportunity to go do your dream job turns up, and you say, "Actually, let me just stay home till my parents don't need me anymore. Then I'll go and do this job." The offer's there, but you delay. The offer's there, but you don't want to take it up until you may be more secure, until things have happened that you want. What happens to that job offer? The opportunity's lost, isn't it? Jesus likewise demands a response now, not when everything is settled and comfortable and ready. Often the call that happens in our life happens at times that is probably the most inconvenient time around. And I can see a few heads nodding at that one, just going, yeah, I was down this path and the call came. For me, I was down this path of research science at trying to figure out how MS was happening and about T cells and the inflammation that was happening in the person's brain and spinal cord. and had a path there. But the call called me away from that. It often happens that if you're willing to follow, God will take you to places you never experienced and never thought of. But God is there, but there is a cost. It meant that I didn't continue on with all of that. It meant I couldn't continue on with that research that I was doing. There is a cost. Thirdly, the third person is around me. Just let me say goodbye. The third would-be disciple wants to say goodbye to his family. Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? Wouldn't you go, if I'm going to go and follow somebody, let me just go and say, you know, like I'm going off to do this thing and I just need to say goodbye? On the surface, seems reasonable, doesn't it? How many parents here would like their kids to say goodbye to them before they go and do something that's big and, you know, difficult, or anybody? Yeah, there's a few, you know. Let me kind of explain. Commentators kind of explain this in the cultural understanding of the day. Saying goodbye could actually be a drawn-out day or even weeks kind of process. It involved parties, it involved farewells, it involved rituals, it involved selling off property and giving of inheritance, those kind of things. Jesus warns that if you keep on looking backwards, longing for what your old life was like, you'll never fully embrace the new one. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, Glenda had a wonderful illustration in the kids' message today about drawing while not looking in the same way. How many people drive a car? How many people can drive forward while looking in the rear vision mirror only? It's just you know, if you, I won't encourage you to try it. But if you've got this clear little space and you've got somebody else in the car with you, try doing that and see how focused and how much you just veer around the place. You can't keep it straight because you're forever correcting and overcorrecting, and you always drift off course. It is the same way if we are always looking backwards to what was, what we could have, or the life that we have currently now, and regretting and remissing and being hesitant about it. We can't move forward if we're constantly looking backwards. So the invitation for us today, the call to follow Jesus is actually costly. Yet it's also one of the greatest and most rewarding adventures you could possibly ever have. What it means is actually putting Jesus first above comfort, convenience, even above beyond cherished relationships and traditions. It means trusting that what will lie ahead with Jesus is actually worth more than everything else that you leave behind. Tim Keller, the preacher, once said that the gospel is not just the ABC of Christian life. It's not just that entering in. It's actually the A to Z of Christian life. It's the whole thing. The gospel is not only about how we begin, but it's how we endure, how we persevere, and how we finish. So in a world of distractions, of constant change, of 5-second sound bites, of reels and shorts, of not being able to stick at a task for very long, following Jesus is countercultural. It means we do indeed need to endure. We do need to persevere. We do need to actually follow Jesus with everything that we have and all that we are. So the question for us is this: are you willing to follow Jesus today? If you have not made a commitment to Jesus, this is such a hard call out of this passage because it is about the cost. Are you willing to take on board that you may be uncomfortable? Are you willing to take on board that you will not always be in control? Are you able to take on board that you may not have familiar routines? And if you are, and if you're willing to say yes today, not someday, today, Jesus isn't looking for half-hearted volunteers. He's actually looking for full-time disciples. In my preparation, I was reading through another preacher's sermon, and they said, just take, for instance, this little thing about the amount of time that you have in your day. Take out the number of hours that you sleep. Okay, take out those hours and then add up the number of hours you've got in the day. How much do you spend on the work and mission of Jesus Christ in your life? An hour on Sunday? 10 minutes, half an hour, maybe a day? How many hours in a week do we actually spend doing this? The cost is there. The step to follow means stepping to follow and following on. Because Jesus is calling us to a life and a purpose. He's calling us to have more with him. Yes, there is a cost, but choosing to follow Jesus Christ will give us so much more and give us life everlasting, the promise that Jesus has for us. So let's just pray together, church. I'm just going to invite the band up and let's just pray. Lord God, as we come today and we've explored what Luke has been saying on how he's talked about Jesus and how he challenged the followers of him. Lord, may that challenge be for us today. What does it mean for us to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to count the cost of being a disciple? Lord God, we just ask that you speak into our lives, you speak into us today, what that cost is. What it means for us on our lives, not just on this nebulous thing that there is a cost, but what it means for us to give more, to be more, to follow you. Oh, Lord God, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon us so that we may just really take on board your calling, your high calling for us today. May we not put excuses. May we not put off saying yes now. But Lord, let's just say, yes, I will follow you. I'll follow you with everything. I'll give you my all. Oh, Lord, I just pray this for us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen.